Welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange Open Mic Session. Today's topic is WebSphere Process Server, Business Process Choreographer, Version 6.2, and Version 7 Performance Tuning for DB2. My name is Joseph Lam, and this session will give you the opportunity to speak to our panel of experts on a variety of subjects related to today's topic. Moving on to slide number 2. In today's open mic session, we will start off by introducing to you our panel of experts for the day. We will then move on to give you a brief introduction to WebSphere Process Server, Business Process Choreographer, Performance Tuning for DB2. Next, our panel of experts will answer questions that were pre-submitted to us through email. Then, we will open the lines for live Q&A period. Finally, the session will end with a summary of the Open Mic session. Moving on to slide number 3. At this time, I would like to introduce to you our panel of experts for today's call. Our panel consists of Bonnie Bermond, BPC L2 Support.
Hi, my name is Bonnie Bermond. I've worked for IBM for 13 years. All 13 years were working in the support organization. I've worked with Business Process Choreographer, better known as BPC, since its inception. We have improved on the product since we first started, and we will be presenting a few of these enhancements here. Thank you, Joseph.
Thank you, Bonnie. Next, we have Jonas Wendler, WebSphere BPM Architecture, Performance, Database, and Security.
Hi, my name is Jonas Wendler. I am a WebSphere BPM architect, and I'm working with workflow since more than 5 years. And I am architect for the performance of the BPC product, and also architect for the database of the WebSphere Process Server.
Thank you, Jonas. Next, we have Dominic Sebastian Maya, WebSphere BPM Development Performance.
Hi, my name is Dominic Maya. I got 4 years of experience with the Process Server, of which I worked 1 year in a so-called SWAT team supporting customers on-site in critical situations. And right now I'm working in the building lab in the performance team of the BPC development. Thank you, Joseph.
Thank you, Dominic. Next, we have Gudrun Ag Reinhardt, WebSphere BPM Development Team Lead Performance.
Hi, my name is Gudrun Ag Reinhardt. I'm a software engineer for business process management, working with WebSphere Process Choreographer since 2002. Since 5 years, I am team lead for WebSphere Process Server Performance in Böblingen. Since 25 years, I am working for IBM, and I am working in workflow development since 14 years. Thanks, Joseph.
Thank you, Gudrun. Next, we have Stefan Wolf, BPC Level 2 Support.
Hi, my name is Stefan Wolf. I joined IBM 2006 and worked in WebSphere Process Server L2 Support and now in Business Process Choreographer L2 Support. My main focus is on databases and security. Thank you, Joseph.
Thank you, Stefan. And finally, we have Uta Dresch, BPC and WBSF Level 2 Support.
Hi, my name is Uta Dresch. I joined IBM in 2000, starting as a software developer at Böblingen's lab, where in 2004 I became part of the development team for the Business Process Choreographer Explorer. Since 2008 now, I'm an L2 support engineer for BPC and WBSF and located in Munich, Germany. Thanks, Joseph.
Thank you, Uta. Now, before we get to the question and answer period, our panel would like to give you a technical overview of the topic. Moving on to slide number 4, and please go ahead, Bonnie.
Thank you for taking the time to join us for our presentation of WPS Business Process Choreographer Performance Tuning 620 and 700 with DB2. In this session, we'll be discussing some of the most widely reported performance issues. We will present the most commonly reported problems such as deadlocks and lock timeouts, show how some of these might easily be resolved by simple database maintenance or other common practices. We will also look at performance tuning from a WPS standpoint. Then we will take a look at clients and how to best go about tuning these clients, BPC Explorer and Business Space. Then we'll explore the best design for query tables and human task queries. We'll dive into how performance in WebSphere Process Server has evolved from version to version. And lastly, we'll take a look at scalability of human tasks and business processes. So let's get started. I'll hand this presentation off to Stefan for question number 1, DB2 WPS tuning.
Thank you, Bonnie.
Sure.
This is Stefan, and we will go now to page 5. And question 1, what are the basic maintenance and tuning tasks for WebSphere Process Server? When we talk about basic maintenance and tuning, we need to consider two parts. BPC is, or Business Process Query Server, is a database standard application. Therefore, besides the WebSphere Process Server tuning part, there's also a database tuning part. I assume that not all participants of this call will use the latest versions mentioned in this presentation. The things mentioned in question 1 will also apply to earlier WPS versions. These tips include best practices and will also resolve a number of issues which are reported as performance degradations. We will now step to page 6 concerning database tuning part. In a number of cases where performance degradation is observed, the database is involved. Therefore, the basic maintenance of databases is essential. What do we understand under basic maintenance? First point on the agenda is perform registers and reorg on a regular basis. This is essential so the database can respond in the best way concerning performance. We have seen cases where this is done for a number of databases, but there's one database which got forgotten. Therefore, it's always good to check on this when you see performance degradation. You will have options, for example, registers to check on the select on the discard tables, or reorg, you could use reorg check command of DB2. The second point on the slide concerns tuning of the databases. And we have added two links here which will deal with online transaction processing or OLTP database tuning. And this also will apply to Business Process Choreographer database because this actually is an OLTP database. I would like to mention one specific parameter of DB2 because this is frequently seen in combination with lock timeouts or deadlocks. So the default value for the lock timeout value is -1, which means you will wait on a log forever. In a product which uses a high number of transactions, this could definitely bring performance problems. Therefore, we recommend, and this is in accordance to OLTP database suggestions, to use values for this parameter in the region of 30 to 60 seconds. You will keep in mind that this means this is the time you wait for a log when already somebody else has the log. And therefore, you could imagine that already 30 seconds is a rather high value. What else you need to consider? We are now at point 3, which will concern indexes. When you observe that you have a slow performance for specific queries, it might be beneficial to check, for example, with the DB2 design advisor if an additional index can help on this specific query. Point 4, which is rather a general recommendation, is to monitor your system resources. Over time, bottlenecks can occur in the area of disk I/O, CPU, memory, and network. Especially disk I/O is the area which is frequently seen for performance bottlenecks. Some tools which you could use, for example, is the NMON tool, but there are also other system monitoring tools out on the market as well. We'll now come to the web proposal server specific part on page 7. Web proposal server tuning. I would like to mention here at this point that this is only a small overview of most frequently seen issues. There are a number of more performance related tuning measures to gain better performance. We focus here mainly on the issues that could have a high impact and which are frequently seen in L2 support. First point, I would like to mention that it's always advisable to check on the latest bifixes and fix packs. The product receives over time some performance improvements, and therefore it is advisable to check on these iFixes and fix packs and to apply them as needed. The next point deals with application design, which is another important factor. We have added here for reference two links which include documents and best practices for designing applications. I would pick out two of these today, which have been seen in a number of cases and therefore I think would be beneficial to check. For example, you will see Kubernetes items, which might decrease the size of a work item view in some scenarios, which can definitely improve your query performance. What are these scenarios? If you use groups with a large number of users, this could definitely help you. If you use group work items with groups which only include one member, this will not bring any performance improvement. In some cases, it also could reduce the performance. Therefore, it's always a question to test on your specific case to see if this could bring a performance improvement. We have seen a number of cases where this could definitely bring you performance improvement. The second example is deletion of complete process instances. In a number of cases, we see that if this is not done, the database will increase in size. And as you could imagine, if the size of the table and the database increases, it also will need a longer time to perform queries on these tables. So if you do not delete completed process instances, this will result in a bad performance. This was the part on question 1, and I will hand now back to Bonnie for question 2.
Thank you, Stefan. I guess we're on to slide 8. What can I do when I see slow response times in Business Process Choreographer EPC Explorer? Slide 9. First of all, you can check your database response times. As Stefan already mentioned, slow BPC Explorer page load times are often correlated with slow database queries. So database monitoring, such as regular run stats and reorgs, can enhance the performance of BPC Explorer. Next is to set the threshold limit appropriately. BPC Explorer provides a setting which allows you to set the limit of resources. If you lower that limit, load times will increase. Create customized lists for your user. BPC Explorer comes with predefined pages such as or that suit many different cases. However, if you have users that use specific templates, then it's probably best if you define a dedicated page for this. Page 10. Checking your Java or JVM heap usage. BPC Explorer uses stores information in HTTP sessions. The more users you have using BPC Explorer, the more heap size it will be used. So if you see heavy garbage collection activity, consider increasing your heap size. Use distribute your application such as a golden topology. And again, I'm going to go back to look at your search limit and limit that. Next, monitor J2EE resources. Make sure that you don't run out of J2EE resources such as web container threads or database connections. You can check this by using by accessing the Tivoli Performance Viewer in the Administrative Console. And the last link here is for customizing the BPC Explorer and tuning it. So we're on page 11 and or slide 11, and I'll hand this back to Dominic for the business space.
Thanks, Bonnie.
Sure.
So the next question is, what do I have to consider with respect to performance in business space for human workflow? And we will see the answer on the next slide. Slide 12, please. The answer is quite complex because with BSpace, you cannot simply adjust one value and expect to have a good performance. The problem is that the BSpace performance and the page load times depend on a lot of different factors. And these factors can be the client hardware, the browser vendor and version, the network speed, the server response times, and your page configuration, for example. And we will see more of that on the next page, page 13, please. For example, if you compare response times of Internet Explorer and Firefox, there are a lot of benchmarks out there for JavaScript and Ajax performance, and I've just pasted one little benchmark here, which is the SunSpider benchmark, and it compares Firefox 3.5 to Internet Explorer 8, and the lower the number, the better the response time is. So what you can see is that in this case, Firefox performs up to 3 times faster than IE8. And this really also makes a difference for BSpace. So whenever you have a chance to choose the browser, you should always choose Firefox over Internet Explorer. And also the client hardware does make a difference, as you can see in the bottom part of the slide. What you see here is a benchmark we ran in the lab with BSpace for human workflow. And basically you can see two client types, the type 800, which is the blue bar, and type 1333, which is the red bar. And basically these two client types don't differ too much in the terms of clock speed of the CPU, but a huge difference is their front-side bus and their level caches. So what you should always consider here is that not only the CPU speed itself does make a difference, but also such small things like the level caches and frontside bus can make a huge difference to your client response time. Next slide, please. So in order to have good response times in BSpace, you should choose the most recent browser version, which is supported by BSpace, because usually the vendors add performance improvements to their most recent versions. And you can see that IE8, for example, with BSpace performs up to 4 times faster than IE6. You should always choose Firefox over IE whenever it is possible, because it also does perform 4 times faster than IE. You should keep your pages as simple as possible, so you shouldn't add too much widgets just because you got them. on one page, but, you know, if you should keep it reasonable and split it up into multiple pages, you should consider your client hardware, as you have seen on the previous slide. And, of course, you should always use the most recent version of BSpace, because we always add performance improvements to our recent versions. And with this, I hand over to question number four.
Yes, thanks, Dominic. So can we please flip to slide 15? Okay. So question number four is, how do I design well-performing human task queries in WebSocket Server? And a first answer is shown on the next page, on page 16. So the very short answer to that question is use query tables. Query tables are available since Process Server 6.2, and they have been designed to address very fast-performing tasks and processes queries. And on the left side of picture on page 16, you see a very high-level overview of query tables. And the message of this picture is that query tables are a high-level abstraction of task and process list queries. So basically, you define what attributes you want to show in your task or process list query. And based on that definition, Process Server can provide a very optimized SQL statement that is then sent to the database to provide very fast response times for task and process list queries. On the right side of this slide, you see a comparison between the query tables and the old query API. And the comparison was made between Process Server 6.1.2 and Process Server 7.0. And as you can see in this benchmark, the response times with the old query API are between 3 seconds and 5 seconds. Those are the red bars. And with query tables, the response times are between 200 and 300 milliseconds. Now, the databases for this benchmark is roughly 300,000 business processes, and the query we do in this benchmark is actually quite complex because it includes 10 custom properties or query properties which have been set on process level. Okay, so let's go a little bit more into detail on slide 17. So the motivation for query tables is that queries are performance critical, and especially human task list and process list queries. They are critical because they need to perform very well, because under high load, a lot of queries will be run against the system within a short time frame. So the system must be able to handle those queries very fast. Then there are other queries which are not performance critical, and you won't see a performance issue with those queries at all. And those are queries which are run for a single process or task instance. And the scenario for that is that you know, if you want to show the details of a business process or of a human task, you would query additional data for a particular human task or a particular process instance. So those queries are not performance critical because they are always fast. And for task and process list queries, you have to use query tables in order to get fast responses. And as stated earlier, the query table engine in Process Server has been designed especially for high-performing task and process list queries. Okay, let's have a look at the tool that we provide to build query tables, and this is shown on the next slide, which is slide 18. on slide 18, we show a screenshot of the Query Table Builder. And the Query Table Builder is a graphical tool that you can use to create your query tables. So using drag and drop, you build your query table, you define what attributes are part of your query table, and you define whether you want to build a process list query or a task list query. And also with the query table builder, you define a filter criteria. So you can specify that in your query table, you only want to see tasks that are in the claim state or tasks that are in the ready state. So to summarize that, there is a primary query table for the query tables that you build, and that determines if you have a task or process list query. This is the green box on the picture. And then you have attached query tables, and those query tables define which additional data you add to your task or process. Okay, let's have a look at some frequently asked questions on slide 19. So from our experience, there sometimes are questions about query tables. So this slide on slide 19 answers some of the frequently asked questions about query tables. So the first question is, are query tables persistent in the database? And the answer is no. Query tables is a pure abstract model, and it is not persisted or materialized in the database. It is only a definition, and the fast performance of query tables comes from the optimized SQL that is sent to the database. So with query tables, there is no duplication of data. The next question is, do query tables have impact on runtime or navigation performance of process server? And the answer is no. You can install as many query tables as you like. Typically, within an application, you will need, say, between 1 and 5 query tables, and you might have more query tables, but you don't have to concern about performance of process server, runtime performance, or navigation performance. Because query tables, they are just a model for process server, so process server can build optimized SQL to access the database. The next question is, do query tables cache data? And the answer is no. Query tables do not cache data. Query tables always get the data from the base tables, from the original data, which is the most current data. Query tables do not use any specific database technology like materialized views. And the last question is, since when are query tables available? And the answer is, query tables have been introduced with Process Server 6.2. Okay. I hand over to the next question, which is question 5, to Gudrun.
Okay, so let's proceed to slide number 20. The question 5 is, how does performance in WebSphere Process Server evolve from version to version? Let's look at slide number 21. In WebSphere Process Server version 7, the SCA runtime has been improved. To leverage these improvements to your existing version 6 applications, you must migrate your applications to version 7. You can do this either in version 7 runtime by using Service Deploy or with WebSphere Integration Developer version 7. In this chart, you can see the performance improvement of a version 6 application compared to the performance of the same application migrated to version 7. Okay, let's move to slide number 22. Work manager-based navigation became the default in WebSphere Process Server version 7. If you use the default in version 6, which was JMS-based navigation, your applications will now run automatically with Work Manager-based navigation in version 7. This might improve the performance of your long-running flows by more than 100%. We could see the biggest improvements in flows using synchronous invocation. Let's move to slide number 23. Query performance using the standard API improved from release to release, but still was not good enough for complex queries. By introducing query tables in WebSphere Process Server version 6.2, we could achieve sub-second query response times even with very complex queries. The queries on the chart below were done on a database loaded with 2,000 process instances and 12 million work items. The query has a response time between 3 and 4 seconds using the standard query API on WebSphere Process Server 6.2. Using query tables, we could reduce the response time to much less and 1 second. Okay, this was all on question 5. Now let's start with question number 6.
Okay, thanks. So let's move to slide 24. And the question number 6 is, what are the best practices with respect to scalability with human tasks and business processes? And we'll talk about that on slide 25. So on slide 25, there are two pictures shown. On the left-hand side, there's a picture which shows a blue box, and the blue box is in the upper right area of the gray box. And the gray box shows the impact of particular decisions and facts on the response time and also the impact on throughput. And in the Z-axis, we see the impact on the scalability. So this is basically a very abstract picture. And the message of that picture is that, and that is shown in the blue box, that with configuration and application design, you can really highly impact the scalability of human tasks and business processes. So configuration and application design is a very important topic when you want your application to support very high volume scenarios. And very high volume in this context means that you have millions of business processes and millions of human tasks in your database. And it also means that thousands of users are accessing the system. Now, on the right-hand side picture, you see basically business process scenarios and human task APIs and scenarios. So dependent on different scenarios, you want to consider different configurations and different best practices for human tasks and business processes. So we won't cover all of those best practices in this session, but we will cover very high level best practices on the next slide, which is on slide 26. So can we please move to slide 26? So on slide 26, we have listed the most important best practices that you need to consider when you build your application and set up your system. So Well, there's four best practices here. The first one is design the application to use as few resources such as CPU and I/O as possible. And you decide based on the trade-off between implementation and maintenance costs and application efficiency. So this best practice actually says that you have to consider resource consumption during the design phase already. With Process Server, you're working on a very modern system and on highly optimized software. But still, a more efficient design of your application allows for a more efficient processing on the Process Server side. And efficiency can be reached with implementation effort, and you must decide and find the right trade-off between how much time do I spend on design efficiency and how much do I want to use out-of-the-box designs and best practices. The next bullet is leverage the newest and existing technologies like query tables, work manager-based navigation, transaction boundaries for business processes. So, as Bonnie has stated at the very beginning of this presentation, we have continuously improved our product over the last years. So we built in new technologies like query tables with version 6.2 and work manager-based navigation, which was introduced in Process Server 6.1, and transaction boundaries, which has been there from the very beginning. And we are continuing to do that. So if the application is designed, please have a look at the Info Center and at the newest white papers and presentations, if there are new technologies which can help you to implement a more efficient application. The third bullet is prepare your applications and environment for error handling. Don't let your system react unexpectedly and with high resource utilization in error situations. So a highly scalable solution which provides high performance and high throughput must be built such that it is stable. A highly scalable system which provides high throughput must be able to really react in a good manner if errors occur. So don't let errors get the system down. Test with error situations and design the application for error situations. And the last bullet is a general best practice for all your business and human task applications, and it is configure your system for optimal resource utilization, such as JDBC resources and messaging resources. And there are other resources, like Threads, which was mentioned at the beginning of the call. So WebSphere Process Server is on top of WebSphere, and WebSphere implements under the covers a JEE application server. And WebSphere Process Server uses these JEE resources. And those resources are provided by Process Server with a default configuration that is suitable for a lot of scenarios, for high volume scenarios and highly scalable scenarios. You might have to customize the settings of the various resources. So it is worth to take a look at what resources are there in my application server, what JDBC resources, what messaging resources like activation specs, and to try to understand those and to tune those. And we have also provided papers and information in the Information Center which describe on how to do that. Okay, so with slide 26. I hand over and close question 6.
Thank you to our panel of experts for answering the pre-submitted questions. At this point in time, Marsha, we would like to open the lines for live Q&A period.
And just one moment while I listen to the name. Shaker, your line is open.
Yeah, hi. I was wondering, like, it's more geared towards DB2. There are a lot of installations, processor installations using Oracle. And there are, like, a lot of differences in terms of database, like the way the instances are created. So how we have to handle situations related to Oracle?
This is Jonas Grundler. So we have information about how to configure Oracle and how to work with Oracle provided in the Information Center. And we have recently published a developer works article which describes the business process database, and this article contains both information DB2, DB2 ZOS, and Oracle. I think we have a link to this article within this presentation, and if you go to that link, I hope that you will find what you're actually looking for when you have questions related to Oracle.
Okay, can you point to the page, which page of the slide?
It would be at the end of the presentation, where we have tech notes, white
tech notes, okay.
And
okay, yeah, thanks. Yeah, I got it.
Currently, no questions have populated.
Thank you, Marsha. And thank you, everyone, for your participation in the live Q&A period. At this point in time, I'm going to move on to slide number 29 and pass the presentation over to Bonnie for a summary of today's session.
Move on to slide 30. Hi, thank you again. I'd like to wrap things up here. First, I'd like to thank everybody for taking the time out of their busy schedules to join us. I'd like to mention that performance tuning enhancements should be done in small changes. Do one change at a time and then test. Also, it's a good idea to keep a running list of all your changes so that you can go back and undo them should the need arise. To summarize what we have presented here, showing you some of the most commonly reported database and WPS problems and the most standard resolutions and maintenance practices. We have also shown you that WebSphere Process Server and Business Process Choreographer are both database-driven. We've provided you some general, known, useful practices for tuning your system, client, scalability. We have looked at some tuning from all aspects of HTM and human task query, as well as business processes. You've seen how the product performance has evolved from release to release. We've also provided you links and documentations. We hope that this session has been beneficial to you and will allow you to be more successful in tuning your system and troubleshooting some of the most commonly reported performance issues. Thanks for your time and attention. Now back to Joseph.
Thank you, Bonnie, for a great summary. At this point in time, we will conclude the OpenMind session.